Welcome to the Relationship Clarity Self-Assessment Experience. I created these assessments actually for my clients when they come in to work with me or when they join my mentorship program. And I wanted to provide these for you so that you can take a bit of a self-assessment in your own private time. What I've noticed from all of the women I've worked with over the years is that they've already tried all of the personal growth, the therapy, and this only really made things worse. And so it leaves you feeling more like frustrated because you're like, I'm doing all the things I should be doing. Why is this such a problem? Why can't I just break free and get out of this situation that I know isn't good for me? Well, what I've discovered in my work with women and in my own journey is that there is a strong emotional addiction component to these types of relationships. This isn't a deep dive on this. It's more of let's get some awareness going so you can start flipping some lights on in the dark rooms you've been fumbling around in, trying to find answers when you're going to therapy and you're being given directives and homework and things that you could be doing to improve your relationship that actually get used against you. Therapy does not work when you're experiencing narcissistic abuse, gaslighting, manipulation, lying, addictions. It's not going to work. And so what I want to offer, and I have been doing for the last 6 years, is helping women find a new way to get clarity and come back into their power and start seeing solutions and options where they did not see them before. It's to be able to create some emotional space so you can go, okay, so now I actually am seeing more of what the problem is here, that it's not actually something I can fix, but I can work on my side of it. So I want to give you a quick overview of what emotional addiction looks like. And this is not a popular frame amongst therapists. I'm a former counselor. I have a background in counseling psychology, and this was not something that was covered whatsoever. This has all been self-taught, self-knowledge, and self-experience from my own journey. And so you're not going to find this type of guidance in most other therapy practices or personal growth materials. So we're going to go over some of the key signs that there's an emotionally addictive pattern, and I'm going to go over the 8 big ones. There are lots of other sub patterns and other aspects to this that can show up, but we're going to talk about the 8 main obvious ones. And then you're going to go through the PDF and take the self-assessment. And there's also a relationship dynamic self-assessment. So there's 2 different assessments here that you can take. There's also a 3rd one that is to help you see the cost of staying. What is it costing you in all dimensions of your life, in all areas of your life? And so these are 3 really important self-assessments to take. And so you'll get out of it what you put into it, right? That's how it goes with everything. So you can, sign up for this and not even do anything with the work. So then it's useless, right? What I know of the women who come into even just my free sampler, things like this, and they actually do the work, they get shifts. And then they want to keep going. But the women who don't do anything with it, or you just look at it and read it or listen to this and don't do anything with it, it's going to be useless for you. And so what I ask of every woman that comes into, whether it's free or paid, is show up like you paid for this and do something different. Like if you're someone that doesn't normally dive into this, or you tell yourself it's overwhelming or it's too much, or I don't want to bother with this, or I don't have time, that's why the pattern continues. So I'm speaking to the woman, you're already in action. You're already doing a lot of things. You're already doing stuff, right? You're doing things. You're not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs and going, oh, ain't it awful? Like you have been taking action and you're in movement, but you're at a place where you kind of are at a crossroads of like, where do I go next? And what is actually really happening here? And what are the next steps? So when you go through those self-assessments that you'll be guided to, it's going to give you clarity. It's going to show you exactly what steps you need to take next based on where you are and what stage you are in. Okay. So the first key that there is emotional addiction going on in your relationship is you feel high when things are going good And then you crash really hard when they're not. It's a very extreme roller coaster. I call it emotional whiplash because that's how it feels. You're just being whipped around up and down. Like, you know, those rides I would never go on that they go up, 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 up high, and then they just drop you down like from a high height. You're in like a chair. When I see that, I just feel instant panic just seeing that ride. Maybe that's because I've actually lived it. Who knows? But it's that extreme, right? You're high, 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 and then boom, you're dropped down into the lowest of lows. This is not just mood swings, and you might be diagnosed to having some kind of mental disorder. This is a nervous system roller coaster that's happening here. It's happening on an emotional, psychological level and a chemical level. So when you're getting the positive attention and the gifts and the attention and the, well, it's basically what I, how I teach it. It's just cycles of love bombing and devaluation. So love bombing is taught that it happens in the first months of a new relationship, but really what I see it as is it happens throughout the relationship in cycles. And so when you're getting that positive attention, you're feeling relief and you're feeling excited and you're feeling inspired and motivated. And then when they pull it back or they pull away or they do something hurtful, then it's back into the anxiety and obsession and almost a panic feeling. And so this creates this cycle that is very hard to break because it's got the two extremes, the two polar opposites. There's no happy medium. I remember feeling like, is there a happy medium? It's always extremes. Like I'm either being like showered in all kinds of wonderful stuff or it's just nothing at all. Like there's no middle road when you're in these types of relationships. That's what you'll probably find. Number two is that you are obsessive with them. You are thinking about them constantly. You're replaying conversations. You're analyzing the texts and different messages that you get, things that they've said. You're constantly centering them throughout your whole day. You're at work. You've got something going on in the back of your mind. You're with your kids. You're thinking about it, or you're, you know, text warring with them. You're not only your nervous system is being hijacked, but your entire attention span is being stolen. You're giving it away to the relationship. So that is another really big component that is not there when the relationship is steady. Now, the one thing I will say is that being in a healthier relationship for almost 4 years, I had some of these things going on, but it wasn't because it was chaos. It was more of just my own emotional patterns that were still trying to calibrate because I had gone through this up-down stuff for like 26 years or something like that between two relationships. And so I was noticing that when I was not fulfilled in my life, or I was putting something off, or I was not putting enough attention on myself, I start to get fixated on not just men, but other people in my life, relationships, my daughters. So I have to start checking myself that I do that and realize, all right, is there something I need to do in this, or is there something that I need to shift toward? This is what addiction is, right? It's that constant replaying, and it has a codependent component to it. Number three is that you override your own needs to keep the connection intact. So this means that you silence yourself when something's bothering you. You don't say anything in the moment, or you might never say anything at all. You accept behavior that you know isn't okay, and meaning that you don't say anything and you don't have any consequences. You bend yourself into a pretzel to avoid conflict or rejection. And this is where you lose your self-respect. This is where you self-sacrifice, because you no longer are even in the consideration of what you need and want. The only thing you're doing is trying to keep the connection. Number four is that you feel unable to leave, even when everything inside of you is telling you that you need to. This is the biggest one. You know it's bad, you know it's wrong, but you still just feel like, why can't I just leave? This is probably the biggest one that smart, successful women that I have worked with over the years, they get stuck there because they know they're smart, right? They're intelligent. They're like, why am I tolerating this nonsense? So even though you logically know it's unhealthy, you know that it's not going to get better, you know you're not being treated well, but yet there's this part of you unconsciously that just can't seem to let it go. That's the addiction territory right there, because your emotion and logic are at war with itself. Number five is that you chase that intermittent attention. This is where you get that feeling of like, am I going to get what I need or am I not? It's like a gamble every time. So you're seeking them out to get attention. When they're inconsistent, when they're hot and cold and on and off, when they're really, really loving and wonderful, and then they pull back and they're distant and cold and very aloof, then you are unconsciously trying harder to get that same reward. This, again, is what keeps women trapped in this cycle, because they're like, oh, he can be so wonderful. And some of these guys, like, they do go over and above. They do a lot of things. They are wonderful in a lot of ways, but they're abusive. I remember thinking, oh, if only he wasn't this or that, it would be so wonderful. But this is what we do. We bargain and we think, oh, I should just stay for his potential, even though you've done it for decades and nothing has changed. Number six, this is the biggest one. And it's the biggest thing that I see with women when I'm supporting them as they're leaving, is they go through a very intense withdrawal when they start to pull away. When you start to try to detach, you might start to feel this uneasy restlessness within yourself, a heavy emotion, feeling really heavy instead of excited. You might feel more anxiety, like knots in your stomach, and it might cause you to have more obsessive thinking loops going on. Very intense urges to reach out and fill that gap, emotional emptiness or heaviness, as I mentioned, those two kind of go hand in hand. And you might think it's because you miss them or that it's wrong to pull back or you're doing something wrong, but really this is just the emotional withdrawal. And this can take years to overcome, and it may never actually go away if you don't do the work specific to the addiction. Like, you have to look at your own addictive patterns. Number seven is that you idealize them despite the contradictory evidence. So you focus on what they're capable of, like their potential, the good moments, the good parts, how wonderful they can be, and who they really could be. As I just mentioned, I remember I was in that place. I made a reel about it a few years ago that, you know, just the dialogue in my own head, like, he'd be so wonderful if he wasn't abusive or if he didn't gaslight. You know, you can't just say this would be so good if he wasn't mentally abusive. It can't be good, because the abuse is the up and down, the hot and cold. It's intentional. That's why they can turn it off and turn it off so quickly. It's intentional. So that's why when things could be going well and then all of a sudden, boom, it's not, you have your evidence right there. But instead you focus on all of the good and not enough on the negative, and you're minimizing the patterns and how you actually are feeling most of the time. You kind of make agreements with yourself, or you have battles inside of your own mind about the truth, about how you really feel. And then number eight is your identity starts revolving just around this relationship. Your moods and all of your decisions and even how you feel about yourself become tied to how he treats you, the kind of attention he's giving you, or if he's devaluing you, whether he's actually choosing you and showing you the attention and love that you desire, where things are going in the relationship, how much effort he's giving, how he's not giving. You are no longer centering your own life. You're not obsessed with your self-devotion. You're obsessed with him and what he's doing and not doing. And so it's important to understand that it's not that you're addicted to them, because I have had women say, I'm not addicted. I hate him. I don't even like him. I'm not attracted to him. I actually am disgusted by him. I don't want anything to do with him sexually or anything. So they're like, well, I can't be addicted. But you're not addicted to him as a person. You're addicted to the pattern and what they represent, which is to you, it's validation. It's relief from that pain of loneliness. It's a very familiar emotional pattern. And a hope that eventually this time it actually might work. I might actually get what I've been seeking. That actually is something that I did not get as a child. And I have this repetition compulsion at play where I'm trying to get a need met by someone who's never going to be able to give it to me, at least not consistently. And most women will think that this is just love and it's fighting for the relationship. But if it's costing you your peace and self-respect, it's a price that is too high to pay. So if you recognize yourself in even just one or two of these, please make sure you go into the Emotional Addiction Self-Assessment PDF and continue on with the pathway of the recommended steps for where you're at. And take it seriously, because what can happen on the other side of leaving if you have this going on, you might not be prepared for it because you haven't yet gotten yourself over that threshold of through the addiction and on the other side, the point of no return, where you actually have to deal with what comes up. This is where having the right support is going to be so crucial. And I have a way that you can come in and get that support through my mentorship. But it's really important to be able to see what's actually going on so you can name it and then you have power over it to go, okay, now I see that this is going on and I'm showing you the pathway to move through it. Then it gives you that sense of emotional relief of, oh, okay, there's actually hope here, which is my intent with creating this resource for you. So go ahead and carry on with the self-assessments. And if you have any questions about any of my mentorship options or the program, just reach out to me at Awakening Women Official on Instagram, or you can email me at hello@leanhoughton.com and ask me any questions that you have. I'm always here to answer questions about mentorship, and I like to connect with you if this is something that you feel ready for and you just might want to, you know, clarify some things. I like to really vet who I work with as well. And also, if you are wanting more in-depth support, like one-on-one, that is an application process. So you have to email me for that. All right. So I will see you over in the other assessments and really dive in and give yourself the gift of this self-exploration. All right. Bye for now.